on a Monday edition, Mr. Relevant. Alex Roth with you. Gerber Law Office, One Call, That's All Studio at the Avenue, downtown Milwaukee. Joshy DiMaggio is here with his Burn Boot Camp water bottle. The normal one must be in the dishwasher. Will Summers is here.
It's in my golf bag, actually.
Which is where?
In my car, but not with me this morning when I went to fill water, and it needs to be cleaned.
Can you show the camera that water bottle? It's cute. It doesn't very much look like a water bottle you'd use,
though. Unlike the rest of the world, do not deem my self-worth off of branded cups and bottles. And I'm not accusing you of that.
I was going to say, I don't think I do that either.
This is a general statement of where it's like a status symbol to have a certain cup, or I want a receptacle that's going to hold liquid. Past that, I'm indifferent.
Sort of like a bladder.
Much like a bladder.
So we'll get to this a bit later, but Deion Sanders with his medical team announcing some things. And we were talking off the air, and I think we came to the conclusion, not only am I dumb, we already knew that. We've already come to that conclusion. I guess I don't really know what bladders do other than hold urine.
Well, they do that, but that's simply what they do. I think you think it's more
complex.
Like a kidney or a liver or... It's a pretty simple functioning portion of the human body.
But important.
Yes, but you can also survive without one. It's just inconvenient. You would need to have some sort of catheter device 24/7. Which is, plenty of people do live that way. It's just, if you can replace, more convenient to do it that way.
Sure.
Hunter?
Yeah, they also, by not having one, you can also then lead to more infections with the catheter device. So it's just like you have to be very careful then in the way you live.
You know what they say? Like, you should never be the smartest person in the room. I'm amazing at that. I'm never the smartest person in the room.
Yes, I...
I concur, he says.
Yeah, yep. I find it hard to find a room where anyone would look at you and go, yeah, that guy's got it in this room.
All right, let's start our show, shall we? Let's talk a little Green Bay Packers training camp. Practice 5 underway and probably getting close to wrapping up in Green Bay today as the pads go on today. The first day with full pads. As Matt LaFleur put it earlier in his press conference when answering a question about Tyron Hopper, he said, and we'll hear from him a bit later, but he essentially said, yep, underwear comes off, pads go on today. Well said, coach. But it gets us into this a little, you get to see a little bit more, right? So last week is, I don't want to call it the underwear Olympics because that's more the NFL combine. But the first couple of training camp practices for every team is just your first opportunity to see the newcomers, whether that be through free agency or the draft, some of the draftees that everybody's so hyped about, right? In the Packers case, obviously Matthew Golden probably being that main one. It's your first opportunity to see those guys. That's what those first couple practices are. Now, starting today, and again, it's still toned back a little bit in the public practices where fans can attend and the media can fully attend. You'll see some schematic things, some game plan things, but you won't see a ton. It's still more positional drills. It's just a little bit of a faster speed. You'll actually see Matthew Golden run as fast as he can now. You'll actually see some of the cornerbacks at full speed, whether that be in the individual drills or the 11 and 11s. You still won't see a ton of tackling, which we will get to in a moment with Nate Hobbs. But all in all, this is the better version of training camp. You're actually going to see things that kind of matter rather than, Jordan Love threw an interception without pads on. Okay. I mean, are we going full speed? Not really. So it's hard to judge exactly how legitimate everything that happens at these training camp practices are. And pat on the back to me, I try not to overreact to a lot of this, though I may have at one point last week when Josh said, yeah, you're going to do it. It was training camp practice one. Of course, I'm going to overreact. But now that we're about to be through 5, you have themes you can grasp onto, right? This player has popped off the page 4 of the 5 practices. Brandon McManus hasn't missed a kick. That's something we're not used to as Packers fans the last few years. Brandon McManus is 21 for 21 through 5 practices. He's only kicked in 3 of them. He kicks every other practice because he's the only kicker that's actively kicking for the Packers. So stuff like that is what you can take away and keep an eye on. But still not a ton of, right, Josh? Not a ton of like huge grand takeaways a month out plus from the start of the season. But all in all, it's still good to have football to react to. It's just a lot of it in the grand scheme of things doesn't matter a ton.
I think the really only thing you can pull from or is young players. So year one or year two guys, I think can actually, you can say, oh, there might be something here, or, oh, we didn't expect this guy to be as good as he was. I think the other level is practice squad guys who are now making an argument for them making the roster. But in terms of like any real wholesale differences, it's hard to really, I mean, all Oneida is a term that's been coined because there are plenty of guys who light up not only training camp, but the preseason. And then the lights come on and they're nothing but a guy or maybe even less and don't make it on the roster throughout the duration of the season. So I'm basically, has Matthew Golden shown stretches of impressive play? I don't expect him to be far and away the leader in the pass catching room. I don't think he's even probably been given the opportunity to be that. So it's just, is there flashes from the guys we want to see flashes from? And guys, and the other thing maybe is like injuries. How do they look? And we've all, of course, talked Christian Watson, Marshawn Lloyd got injured by Nate Hobbs today. So we'll see how that all ends up. But I don't take a lot of stock in anything other than who's getting opportunity that they didn't have before.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And to your point, it's the first or second year player. And then obviously the newcomers, right? The free agency additions,
right,
which the Packers didn't have a ton of those this offseason. Aaron Banks hasn't been practicing. He's been dealing with a slight injury. He's not massively hurt. They're more using him as precautionary.
And even if Aaron Banks is great, we're probably not going to hear much about it.
Correct. Especially at training camp.
Yes. Right?
Maybe preseason game. Oh, wow.
Right.
He had a great block, right? He opened that hole great for, well, maybe Marshawn Lloyd if he plays. Let's get into that now. So Nate Hobbs, one of the offseason additions, he's gunning to be the Packers' top corner in 2025, at least come week one. They paid him. They brought him in.
He's certainly taking camp like it.
Sure is. So this from before yesterday's practice, through the first three practices, Nate Hobbs had laid a few hits. Again, these are guys not wearing pads, and it's supposed to be no contact. You're not supposed to tackle your teammates. You don't want to get anybody injured. So Matt LaFleur, after Friday's practice, which was practice three, they had a day off Saturday and returned back yesterday. So after Friday's practice, Matt LaFleur pulled Nate Hobbs aside, and LaFleur was quoted as saying, quote, "This is what I told him. I don't think it's malicious. One of the qualities that we really admired about him is how he competes," end quote. So Nate Hobbs, through the first three practices, had laid a few hits. And I got to be honest, dude, I love this guy's reply when he was asked about it after yesterday's practices. He said this, quote, "I just feel like it's the nature of the game, and if you are playing it the right way, they gon' have to tell you to slow down. Obviously, you got to be a pro about it. Obviously, you need everybody on the team, but I'm a football player, man. I'm not going to stop being a football player. Pads tomorrow, we going to see who's who," end quote, from Nate Hobbs after yesterday's practice. Well, it trickled into today's practice a little bit. During 11-on-11s, Marshawn Lloyd, the Packers' likely backup running back behind Josh Jacobs, who they spent a third-round pick in last year's draft, didn't play much last season, dealt with an appendectomy and a couple of other injuries, just really couldn't catch a break in his rookie year. Well, he's hurt again. Marshawn Lloyd left today's practice after he took a hit in the legs. And who was it that hit him? Well, it was Nate Hobbs. So that is the official first 11-on-11 contact injury we've had. Lloyd did not return to practice. He was on the sidelines with his helmet off. We will see what the extent of the injury is. But Nate Hobbs, who is bringing the juice, bringing the fire, bringing the hits to Packers training camp, has now had a player exit training camp due to a hit that he had taken from Nate Hobbs. That's Marshawn Lloyd, the running back who just can't seem to catch a break on the injury front. The reaction on Twitter is, "You should cut Marshawn Lloyd. He can't stay healthy through one frickin' training camp practice." Let's not get ahead of ourselves. But Nate Hobbs, the deliverer of the hit that led him to leave practice today.
Did he actually leave practice, or did he just go to the side?
He went inside with the trainers and then came back out without a helmet.
I have a feeling Nate Hobbs is flirting with getting removed from the practice in near future.
That's probably
being told to, you have the day off, and it's not because of your great work. It's you're a detriment to the team.
So here's the thing, Josh, is Yes, maybe at this point you can view it now that somebody has been injured as a detriment. But Nate Hobbs has been shining otherwise. He had an interception on Jordan Love in today's practice prior to this happening. He's had some really nice plays defensively. It seems like Matt LaFleur has been almost, he's been maybe number one on the gush list of guys like who have been impressing from practice. But I think you're right. Obviously, if it is leading to injuries, maybe he will be given the day off to rethink some of his actions. Almost like a kiddie timeout. Go sit in the corner for a little bit.
Yeah, I know we're talking about football here, but this is practice. It's your own teammates, and your teammates do not take well to it, nor do your coaches.
Correct.
So if you've become such a consistent issue that we've had to have a talking to because of your aggressiveness and maybe your recklessness, I think it's fair to call it that, with your teammates, you're going to lose favor and trust on a football field and on a football team is as important as your ability. So if the team doesn't feel like they can trust him to not hurt his own teammates, then there's going to be a bigger problem.
Bingo. Yeah. So we will see on that. I mean, certainly not ideal, but he is a guy who is going to play a big role on this defense.
Yeah. And I understand he's playing with the mentality of a guy who like doesn't have a, you know, it's a guy trying to make the roster. That's usually how those scraps happen. It's a guy who's fighting for his life. Nate Hobbs is going to be here no matter what.
That's correct.
So you have to tell him, hey, we love it, but we don't love it when it's causing your teammates and young guys to miss time on the practice field, which is few and far between, far lesser than it's ever been. And the guy in specific is a guy who needs to be out there. He's battled injuries nonstop, and I'm sure Matt LaFleur and the Packers would love to not have to give Josh Jacobs as many carries as they did last year. And that's not to say anything against Josh Jacobs. It's just, the more touches you get, the more likely you are to get injured.
Yeah, and you saw it last year. Emmanuel Wilson and Chris Brooks were his backup. Now, both of those guys capable of doing some nice things, but are they bona fide number two running backs in the NFL? Probably not. Right? Chris Brooks, more of a glorified fullback. And we know, if you've listened to the show for a long time, you know how I feel about Chris Brooks. I am a big Chris Brooks fan. I hope he makes the roster again. I really like what he does from a blocking perspective. But do I want him getting carries behind Josh Jacobs at the level of 7, 8, 9, 10 carries a game? The answer is no.
You say that Chris Brooks thing, and then if you start, I think if I put you to task on answering either ors, Chris Brooks is off the list.
You mean in terms of 53 guys that await the team?
Yes.
Oh, probably.
Because that would probably mean one of the wide receivers has to go, or one of the cornerbacks has to go, and then we'd be concerned, and we go, do we really need a fourth running back who's a glorified fullback instead of a guy who might actually be able to provide material benefits?
Well, you keep two quarterbacks. Maybe you keep three running backs. You probably keep seven receivers. You're already at 12 for the offense.
through three positions, mind you.
We haven't even talked about the line that has five of them.
You probably keep it 10 linemen, so you're at 23. You keep it three tight ends, that's 26. That's half the roster. Not bad. Half the roster. Offense. Okay? Defense. Oh, this is where it gets difficult.
Yeah, you're going to have to pick edge rushers, defensive tackles.
Let's just keep it. Let's keep it consistent. Let's say you're keeping 10 defensive linemen.
Yeah.
So you're up to 36. You're keeping five linebackers?
Probably.
So that's, what's that math now? 41. You're keeping, oh boy.
You're going to have like four or five safeties.
At least five.
You're going to have...
Because you're keeping Zane Anderson, you're keeping Oladapo, you're keeping Williams, you're keeping McKinney, you're keeping Bullard. That's five.
Yeah. Now the corners.
So we're up to 46. Oh, we're okay still. We're okay. Because long snapper, punter, kicker, that's 49. So I've got three spots for cornerback. Oh, no.
Whoops.
So that four...
I got bad news for Chris Brooks. I just found out. I got bad news.
I'm glad we had to do the exercise because I knew you were doing nothing more than giving lip service to a guy who might not make it through the first rounds of cuts.
Oh, come on. He's better than that. He was on the active roster all of last year.
Was he on the active roster because of how good he was or out of necessity?
Yes.
When did Chris Brooks get added
to the roster?
Uh-oh.
Did you say how many tight ends they were keeping?
Yeah, three.
Oh, okay. Because I was like, did we just go quarterback, running back, receiver, O-line, and then done with the offense?
No, three of them.
Okay.
Yeah, they'll keep Sims, Musgrave, and Kraft.
Yeah, I was just making sure in our total number we had them included, because then that would have made it even worse.
We had everybody included. I've got bad news for Chris Brooks is what I think this ultimately leads to. But that is reliant on Marshawn Lloyd being healthy.
Right.
Which so far we have not seen that. So there's still a chance because I kept three running backs. That would be I would keep Emmanuel Wilson over Chris Brooks, though. And I think everybody would agree with me on that.
Yep.
Okay. Good stuff.
And they just brought in Israel Abakanda, the running back who used to be a Jet, signed him. Well, you're tapped in.
Dude, I was going to tell you this today. I really am tapped in.
You're not.
No, wait.
There's a new guy on the field that you didn't know
of. Hold on. On the other 31 teams.
Great.
So
we're on ESPN Wisconsin. No other NFL teams state.
Everybody slow down.
Before I slow down, you slow down.
I am tapped in on the Green Bay Packers.
Remember
very much so.
The last time you claimed to be one of these tapped in experts?
Yeah. No, I don't.
Or the previous three times?
what happened?
NBA guy.
Remember when you thought you could name all the Wisconsin cities based on their population?
Yeah, yeah.
You failed at that.
Yeah.
Remember when you thought you could also name the biggest markets? You failed on that.
Oh, I did good there.
No, you didn't.
No, you didn't.
Depended what we were looking at. Yeah, okay.
When you say tapped in on the other 31 teams, how many questions do you think I could come up with in the next 5 minutes that would leave you absolutely stumped?
I'm willing to guess you could do it.
Right.
But here's the thing, and this is my ego speaking, I want to put you to test on that. So I want to get through this Elgton Jenkins thing, and then we'll get back to your questions before we hear from Matt LaFleur. Does that work? Well, we will hear from Matt LaFleur in the Jenkins conversation, but we will hear more from Matt LaFleur because he said two things today we have to hear, besides the Elgton Jenkins thing.
I'm going
to
write them up right now, and I guarantee
Will, Will Hunter, feel free to also write some questions. We'll do like five or six quick hitters. I did a ton of research on the NFL this weekend. Like, I was prepping for fantasy football. I was trying to search up on the rookies, learn about quarterback battles. Like, one thing that I forgot about that happened this offseason is the Giants quarterback room. It's Russell Wilson, Jameis Winston, and Tommy DeVito. That's amazing.
You forgot literally the most important one.
Oh, and the rookie, yeah.
Yeah.
And his name is not coming to me right now.
So locked in.
Start, Russell.
Captain!
Jackson Dart. We're already done. We're not even going to do the segment. I'm vetoing it. That was embarrassingly bad.
You can't not know
Jackson Dart and try and say
I did know Jackson Dart. I do know Jackson Dart. I was more focused on the Jameis Winston press conference I watched this weekend, and he is amazing. So anyway, all right, let's get to Elgton Jenkins because I think this is a tinge strange, but maybe more reality than we realized. It's all messed up. So let's set the scene. So Elgton Jenkins, obviously star offensive lineman for the Packers for years now. He, this offseason, after the signing of Aaron Banks at left guard, the position Elgton Jenkins previously played, agreed that he would move over to center as the Packers said adios to Josh Myers, the former draft pick who signed in New York with the Jets. Elgton Jenkins said, yes, I'm willing to play center for you. But it was pretty obvious that Elgton Jenkins had one more request. And that was not a contract extension. That was not a commitment past what he had already signed. It was just the commitment of all of the dollars. He wanted guaranteed money, straight cash, homie, straight up. And that way, for the next 2 years, we're solved. He's got his $10 million. It's not a huge price tag, all things considered. And he would play center for this team. But he started the offseason program, the training camp, on the physically unable to perform list. And the NFI, the non-football injury list, with a back injury. And when Brian Gutekunst was asked about it last Wednesday, the first day of training camp, he just said he's dealing with a back thing, he should be back soon. Okay, so to me, what that was telling me was they are still hammering out the guaranteed money thing, which seems pretty easy on the Packers' end, to go ahead and take care of Elgton, a guy who's doing something good for the team, has done good stuff for you for years, has been a Pro Bowl level, all-pro level offensive lineman for you. Seemed pretty easy. And over the weekend, we got through several practices. Nothing had changed. Jenkins was still on NFI, non-football injury list, and had not practiced yet. But then Matt LaFleur asked today, it's a very awkward interaction that I need to give you some context to before we play it. But he was asked if anybody on the PUP list or the NFI list will come off that today. His response was Elton. He was then asked a follow-up question to the point of, you know, what will he be doing? And then you hear Matt LaFleur get completely sidetracked. The camera that films the Packers press conference that you can watch on YouTube, where you can also watch us, ESPN Milwaukee and ESPN Madison on YouTube, over at the Green Bay Packers page, they video stream the press conference. The camera that shoots that, it's just one camera, fell during his answer. So during the video, you see the camera literally tip over and then get put back up and like re-zoom in on him. But LaFleur gets totally distracted. So here is LaFleur's response after he is asked, is anybody coming off of the PUP or NFI list beginning today?
Elton. Yep.
Well, will he just be limited?
Yeah, he'll be limited. Just I think he's just doing individual. And then we'll build him up and hopefully... You all right back there? That's some expensive equipment. Can't be ruining that. Be all bad.
It'd be all bad. Just like that answer from Matt LaFleur on Elton Jenkins. So... I heard Brad Nortman float this when he was filling in for Tausch this morning on Wilde and Tausch. And it could have gotten to a point where Elton just said, screw it. I can't take it anymore. I need to be out there. Or there actually was a back injury and maybe the contract dispute is over and Elton has just accepted he's not going to get his guaranteed money, or at least not right this second. Now, if I'm Elton and if his agent is consulting him, it would be do not step foot on that field until you have the guaranteed money. So this isn't his agent saying, all right, well, we're not going to win. Go ahead. Right, that's not how things work in the NFL. So this situation just kind of strange to me. And you can tell that LaFleur kind of wanted to skirt right by this. When he said, yep, Elton. It wasn't a real update. It wasn't, yeah, oh, Elton Jenkins will be rejoining the team. He's going to go through some individual work. He didn't really want to talk about it, it sounded like, to me. And then he, got the grace of a distraction. I watched Happy Gilmore 2 last night. You know how Happy always gets lucky, his ball hits off a tree and goes in the hole or hits a ball in the air and it helps him, right? Like, that seemed like the moment for Matt LaFleur. The camera fell and he was able to get away from talking about Elton Jenkins. Just a strange situation to me, but that's the update. Elton Jenkins will return to practice for the Packers. Well, did today. Did some individual work, working through some stuff. Didn't participate in the 11-on-11s, any of the live stuff. But sounds like Elton Jenkins will be back in the mix sometime later this week. We'll see if we get any more information on that. Brian Gutekunst scheduled to meet with the media tomorrow, I believe 9 a.m. So we will hopefully get some answers from Goody on where things stand with Elton Jenkins tomorrow. But that is that. Josh, any reaction to the Elton Jenkins thing before we get to your questions?
No, I think it's going to get done. I think they're just doing what the Packers do, trying to make the deal as favorable as possible. Elton showing goodwill by showing up and not fully missing out and not competing. So to me, it's just once he gets his deal, once the Packers figure it out and they are happy with whatever the contract ends up being, he'll be back on the field and he'll be really damn good. I just think it's a matter of time, and I think it's incumbent on the Packers to sort of force the issue and give the man what he deserves.
Yeah.
That's as simple to me, and I have a hard time seeing the Packers not ending up in agreement.
Yeah, I agree.
Because who the hell else is going to play there?
Not Jacob Monk.
Sure ain't.
Right? And maybe he will in the future. I think you and I are in agreement. This is likely, maybe not likely, but it is maybe the last year on this team for Elton Jenkins and Kenny Clark. I think both of those guys, they're aging out. They're losing productivity. I don't know about Elton, but Kenny certainly is, and he was dealing with some injuries last year. Unless both of those guys have incredible seasons, I would not be shocked if they're both not on the Packers next year. Just from a financial standpoint and the way that Goody operates. So, smart by Elton to request the guaranteed money. It seems like it should be a gimme for the Packers and Elton to just go, okay, yep, here you go. But here we are, and we will see what happens throughout the week. I'm sure this story is certainly not done here on Monday as Elton Jenkins comes off the NFI list and returns to action. We will get back to Matt LaFleur and hear from some of the things he had to say today that got me all fired up for football season. I made a claim. Josh challenged the claim. We will see if the claim is valid or invalid as we run through my questions. I said I should probably rephrase what I said.
Oh, wow.
Move the bar.
I'm going to walk this one back a little bit. I'll just say I watched like 6 hours of NFL Network's Welcome Back Weekend. So they hit like all the training camps this weekend. And I was hearing from players. I was hearing from coaches. I was hearing from the NFL Network analysts on a bunch of the teams in the NFL. And so, like, I'm just all fired up. I'm high on some teams now.
Oh, jeez.
Like, last year, you may remember, Josh, I was really high on the Cardinals going into the season. I was very wrong, but I was high on the Cardinals. I do have a new Cardinals team this year.
Who should I now be avoiding and fading?
I have two teams that I think could be playoff teams. The two teams are, I have an AFC and an NFC. The AFC team is the Las Vegas Raiders.
Oh, jeez.
I believe in Pete Carroll. I believe in Geno Smith. I think Ashton Gentry's going to be a dog, although I'm going to avoid him in my fantasy drafts. He's going to go so high.
That's a six-win team.
We'll see. The other team that could very well be a six-win team is the Carolina Panthers, but the division's wide open.
I actually like them more. I don't think this is their year. I think they're going to get closer.
Yeah, great. I just think, almost like the Bears have done and the Vikings have done with young quarterbacks, surround them with so many pieces.
Yes.
And they have such a great blend of, like, veteran, but youth and upside and speed and strength in their wide receiver room that it just really, really intrigues me from an offensive
wide
standpoint.
Receiver three in Carolina is
Xavier Leggett, probably.
Yes.
Tet McMillan would be above him. Adam Thielen would be above him.
You would think possibly.
Was that one of your questions?
No. Okay. That was top of the head.
Okay.
I do have questions, though.
Yeah, let's go.
Who is the lead running back in camp this offseason for the Jacksonville Jaguars?
That's a really good question because I don't think it's Travis Etienne anymore. Did they draft one, though?
They did draft one.
I'm going to go Travis Etienne still.
It's Tank Bigsby.
I was going to say that!
Tank Bigsby, who's backed up by a rookie.
They drafted him 2 years ago.
With a from Virginia?
Oh, I won't.
Virginia State, Bashaal Tooten.
I have no idea who that is.
Breshard Smith is a player who plays what position?
Let's say the name again.
Breshard Smith.
Okay. Can you tell me team?
No, that's the other part of the question. It's a two-parter.
Okay, I don't know what
this player is running with the ones, Breshard Smith.
Okay, he's a tight end.
No. He's a running back.
Okay. And he plays for the, I have to tell you.
Yeah.
This is good. He plays for the, who needs a running back? Who's the running back in, okay, I've got like three AFC West teams in mind.
Just take one guess.
This team seems to always need a running back, but then they always have one pop up. I'm going to go with the Kansas City Chiefs.
He is.
Nice. I thought he was a tight end, though, so not great.
The slot receiver seeing the most work in the Patriots offseason this offseason has been who?
Oh, boy. They have set so much turnover. That's a team who
they
I didn't study.
They drafted a young guy.
That's a team who I didn't study.
They also signed a guy.
I stayed away from the AFC East yesterday.
That player is Pop Douglas. DeMario Douglas.
Oh, yeah. I know him.
He has been getting
a lot of work
out of the slot. Yes.
Okay.
But Kyle Williams was drafted out of Oklahoma.
Yep.
And they signed Stephon Diggs as well. The rookie wide receiver, this rookie wide receiver, has been favorably compared to Michael Thomas, a former record-setting slot receiver.
Michael Thomas. I have a feeling this is a trick question. And it's Matthew Golden, but that's not my answer. That's not my answer. That's not my answer. But you're smiling at me now, so it might be my answer.
I'm not going to ask you a Packer.
I'm going to go Emeka Buka.
No, Pat Bryant for the Denver Broncos. Sean Payton, Michael Thomas.
Sure.
I tried to lead a horse to water with that one.
It didn't work.
And you did exactly as expected. The lead running back for the Broncos
is who?
Where
did you find these questions?
My brain.
I love it.
The lead running back for the Broncos is who?
Oh, that's, I know this. Or do I have this backwards? Their running back is now in Dallas. That's what I was thinking.
So the answer is J.K. Dobbins, who signed with them late in the offseason.
Oh, yes.
Backed up by rookie from UCF, R.J. Harvey.
Yeah, no.
The lead running back of the Cowboys is?
That would be the Denver guy, whose name I'm blanking on. Javonte Williams.
And his backup?
Deuce Vaughn?
Miles Sanders.
Oh, really?
Yes.
I missed that one.
Yes, Jayden they also Blue have is a looking young good guy, today, Blue, though. So as well.
Yeah, Blue's looking good, though. He might Jayden take Blue. Over that second running back spot.
They just haven't had a back since Zeke, huh?
Yeah, and I think he's going to be.
Well, I guess Tony Pollard had 1 year.
Yes.
Yeah.
The lead running back for the Browns is?
It's not Nick Chubb anymore, I can tell you that much. He's in Houston. Is it Kareem Hunt?
Kareem Hunt's on the Chiefs. The lead back, what was the, it was the Browns. It's currently Jerome Ford.
Oh, sure.
Who's backed up by rookie Dylan Sampson. But they also drafted another rookie who's not signed and had some issues, Quinshon Judkins.
Oh, yeah, I did hear about that. Yes, he's not, but he's not on the field.
No. So
he might be going to jail.
The only thing you got right was your guess on who Breshard Smith played for.
I like these questions. Can we keep doing these?
I don't know how much they apply. It is really to hammer home the point of you speak out of turn.
Yeah, but hold on. Here's the thing with me. Admittedly, my rookie knowledge a little bit shortcoming right now.
Well, that's usually the biggest news, but I also asked you about a lot of veterans in there as well.
Yeah, the DeMario Douglas one felt like a trick question.
Not a trick
question. Because he's been there.
But he's grown in his role.
Yeah. Who's the lead back in Denver?
J.K. Dobbins?
Yes. I knew that.
No, you didn't.
Yeah, there was a lot of veteran running back movement again. I guess I knew it, but I didn't know it. You're right. You're right on that.
So you watched 6 hours, got basically the very surface level stuff that they're telling you about, all the guys you know about, I now know what's going on.
I feel like I'm in a better place.
The one thing we learned through this
that I was, oh boy,
is I have more of a right to say who's tapped in on 31 teams way more than you do.
I don't think we needed this to prove that. That's always been the case. You've been best balling for 6 months.
Yes. That's what you call locked in.
Well, that's why you know all these rookie running backs, and it's your best ball knowledge.
Yeah. And nice. That makes me locked in. Do you follow Coach Speak Index?
I do.
Pay more attention to them.
Why?
Good for fantasy and good for keeping you locked in on the news and notes.
Sure. Okay. Do you have tweet notifications on?
No, I don't have that for anyone.
Nobody?
No.
I got that for Luke Fickell, and that's it.
Oh, I have it for way more people.
I don't know if I've used it like when I was expecting news and I didn't want to miss it. But other than that.
So like Rodgers watch, you had Aaron Rodgers on notifications for everything.
Yes.
Gotcha.
Yes.
You'll be, I don't know if you'll be happy or sad to learn this. I have your tweet notifications.
I know that. So, yeah. You've told me that before.
You're one of my favorite follows.
I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
I'm not going to turn yours on.
I understand. I tweet too much.
But I don't turn on anyone, so it's not a personal
account. Yeah, internally, I think you're the only one I have on, other than our actual station accounts. ESPN Fair. Madison, ESPN Milwaukee.
I also don't like notifications.
And then it's Schefter, Passan, Shams, Domofsky, Wilde. So Wilde internally, I also have. And I think that's the end of the list. So there you go. There's my tweet notification.
Gotta
right
get
now.
Luke you. Fickell. You gotta get welcome. The recruiting and happy birthday tweets. Come on, man.
Brother, I don't know if I can explain this any more than I just don't care.
I know.
I am so checked out on Badgers football. I'm so checked out. Like I'll watch the games. I'll listen to Wisconsin College Game Day on our stations. But I just don't care. Today is local media day, I noticed, so I know that we're seeing some quotes come out right now. Jim Rutledge actually covering for ESPN Madison today. I love to see that.
It's been 35 minutes and we haven't talked about the Brewers.
We're getting there.
I'm upset.
We're getting there. We're getting there.
Mark Adonazio gave a humdinger of a quote.
Well, I didn't see this, so you're going to have to tell me about it.
He was all locked in on the NFL. Come on.
Too tapped in.
All right.
On 31 other teams.
Just want you to get hyped for training camp, and then we'll leave the Packers. We'll get to the Brewers. Matt LaFleur said two things today I think everybody should hear. Let's start with he was asked, you know, like, hey, man, today's a big day in training camp. You know, it's pads day. How are you feeling? And he just said this out of the blue, and it got me a little fired up.
Today's going to be great. First day of pads. It's going to be hot. So hopefully we get to see these guys strain a little bit.
I like how he very subtly showed his psychopath. I want to see these guys strain. I want to see them sweat. I want them in pain. I like that a little bit. Today's going to be a great day. I say that every day when I wake up. Today's going to be a great day.
I feel like there's a degree of Matt LaFleur that watched Dan Campbell and said, I need to act more tough guy.
He has been. He did quote Quarterback, the Netflix documentary, twice in his press conference today. So certainly gotten up close and personal look to Dan Campbell.
Yeah, it seems to be an intentional thing he's doing.
So I've realized that people actually do self-affirmation in the mirror in the morning. Like, there's actually people that do that. Like, they wake up, they look in the mirror, and they go, like, you're going to crush it today. You're going to be great today. Like, I don't speak to myself that directly, but I more generally say things like Matt LaFleur just did. Like, today is going to be a great day. It's going to be hot outside. I can't wait. Let's go hit it. Pour my cup of Joe. I hit the road. Are you an affirmations in the mirror guy?
No.
Do you think Matt LaFleur is an affirmations in the mirror guy?
No. I think Matt LaFleur is calculated in what he sees as his deficiencies and wants to project them publicly because he has the bully pulpit to impress upon. Because as much as he's talking to the media, he's talking to his team. And he's trying to tone set. And I think Dan Campbell has been, I mean, there's many coaches who have done the same thing but there's been, to me, over the past 2 years, a difference in his attitude and approach, trying to come off as more of a tough guy.
Well, let's see.
Which is hard to do with manicured eyebrows and hair. And
he is handsome as hell.
Yes.
He is very handsome.
Yes, and you can tell he takes great pride in his handsomeness.
I mean, I would too if I look like that.
Yes, but it's not typically what you think of when you think football coach.
Like, don't get me wrong.
Dan Campbell, Bill Belichick.
Sure, sure. I was just going to say, I think I'm handsome, but I probably shouldn't compare myself to those guys.
I wouldn't.
Okay, probably a good idea to stay away from that. Okay, here's the other thing he said. I referenced this one earlier. He's talking about Tyron Hopper and then just kind of pivots again to talk about his excitement for the day.
Yeah, he's done a nice job. I think he's definitely taken a step in the right direction. Now we're out of underwear and we're into full pads, so you got to do it now.
Got to do it now. Out of underwear into full pads. Love it. It's football season in Green Bay. Hall of Fame games this week, isn't it?
Thursday.
Who plays this year?
Don't know.
Dude, you're supposed to be locked in on the NFL. Come on.
The preseason isn't the NFL.
That's not true.
That's glorified practice.
I will bet on this game.
You're a degenerate.
Here's a lesson. Never bet on anything in the preseason except except Harbaugh's.
Very true. Very true. Harbaugh's
they
always
take it very seriously. And they try and cover the spread and they do it very
good news then.
Guess who's playing in the Hall of Fame game?
I would bet it's a Harbaugh.
Yeah, it would be Jim Harbaugh and the Los Angeles Chargers heading to Canton, Ohio, but they play Detroit, Lions.
It's gone to the extent of them like calling shot plays late in games to try and score touchdowns.
So here's maybe a horror story on sports gambling. This was the 2021 NFL season. I just moved to Madison. I went 17-1 in the preseason. I did unbelievable in the preseason. And then it was just all downhill from there. Awful NFL regular season, and I did not make money.
You made the classic mistake of thinking you had figured it out versus you just ended up getting very lucky.
No, of course, and that's all it is. I do enjoy betting the preseason because then it gives me more of a reason to watch players that won't make the roster.
If available player props, and if you are tapped in, player props are a great way to make money because the books, player props are projections and largely a guessing game, especially in preseason.
Mm-hmm.
And if they are available to you and you know your stuff and know who's going to be getting more touches, then you can make a lot of money that way.
Noted. Thursday, Chargers-Lions Hall of Fame game in Canton, Ohio. Detroit, 1-point favorite, according to ESPN Bet. 32.5 is the over-under.
Mm-hmm.
Hammer the over. It's a low line.
All right. They've been practicing for a couple weeks by the time.
We got about 20 minutes left, which I think is sufficient time to get to the two things I want to get to. Most importantly, what's happening in Milwaukee this week. Beginning tonight at 6:40 p.m. at American Family Field, you have the first place Brewers taking on the first place Cubs. Those teams have the same exact record. They are tied for the best record in the National League. They are tied for first place in the NL Central. It's a three-game series, which means come Wednesday, when that third game is over and done with, somebody will be the definitive leader in the NL Central heading into Thursday, which is the MLB trade deadline. So a lot of things happen this week. By the way, Hall of Fame game and the trade deadline on the same day. Sneaky great sports day. Both teams 62-43. Jacob Mizorowski will go tonight for the Brewers. Again, as a 6:40 pitch. Brewers did not have the greatest weekend. They lost 2 of 3 to the Marlins, both Friday and Saturday, and then needed a walk-off from Blake Perkins yesterday to win the final game of that 3-game series at AmFam Field. Now, the loss Friday was overshadowed by the awesome home run derby with all of the former players and you know, a bunch of nostalgia, and it was really cool, right? Nate Bargatze and J.J. Watt are there to throw out the first pitch. Prince Fielder and Ryan Braun and Carlos Gomez and Nigel Morgan are all swinging the bat after the game. Really neat. It was really neat. Saturday, I think everybody's doing other things, right? Shinedown's at the Fiserv Forum. Josh, you know you were there.
No, I was at the much better concert.
Tyler Childers at Alpine. I was at a wedding. So, like, I just totally missed they lost. And then I was catching up yesterday.
It was a tough game.
I was there Saturday, which is great. Were you? Okay. Good for you. But all in all, it goes, oh, crap, they've lost 2 in a row to the Marlins. What are they doing? They have a huge series coming up. They need to get back in it. Luckily, they get some help from the White Sox.
What are they
the
doing? Losing on purpose, I'm sure.
Yeah, right, exactly. walking off yesterday, thanks to Blake Perkins, they win 3-2 in the series finale against the Marlins. And now it's go time, right? It's Brewers-Cubs tonight, tomorrow, and Wednesday. And I think we all agree where the Brewers stand right now. They are a good, if not really good, baseball team, capable of hanging with anybody. But they still lack a bat, a big bat, a home run bat. And hopefully come Thursday, we change our tune a little bit on that. But all in all, as it stands right now, I still view the Cubs as the better team than the Brewers. The Brewers have the better arms. I think they have the better starting rotation. I think they probably have about an equal bullpen, but I would just, you know, tip my hat to the Brewers, given how many arms that have been consistently good for them out of the pen. But when it comes to the bats, the Cubs are far and away better. They have multiple guys that are mashers. They have an MVP guy in Pete Crow Armstrong. Suzuki's been unbelievable for them. Seiya Suzuki, who often DHs for them, he's been great for them. And the list goes on. They have really good bats in Chicago. Milwaukee, small ball, right? Get me an infield single, steal a base. Let's find a way to get this run in. And it works for them. And it has worked for them against really good teams like the Dodgers. And hopefully it works for them again against a really good team like the Cubs. But I still think they're lacking there. But all in all, can they win the series without that? The answer is yes. Because they have that many good arms and that many good arms available to go for them the next 3 days. So that's where I'm at.
Yeah, the only way this Cubs series makes a huge difference is if it ends in a sweep. Because I think a typical 2-1 series win is only going to put them one game apart in terms of the tiebreaker for the division. The big one is the 5-game coming up for them, which will likely finally determine it. But any series against the Cubs is going to be a big series. And I'm glad you mentioned the missing of a big bat, because over the weekend, I believe this was Friday, Ed Inazio was being talked to on the broadcast, the FanDuel broadcast for the game. And when asked about the trade deadline, he said, "The team is telling us pretty loudly that we should be trying to make it even better. Everything is on the table. At this point, you are paying for 1/3 of a season. The money doesn't come into it. It is the prospects. And Matt and his group will decide what prospects they're willing to let go of for what players. We have to be judicious. But we also have a chance to do something good, to do some good things this year." So he's basically given the AAO go ahead, do whatever it takes, because I think we have a championship level team here in Milwaukee. I also think it's important to discuss that if the Brewers always are making moves around the deadline, sometimes it's not good for the team, sometimes it's great for the team. There's some that stick out as better than others, but this feels like one of the real times where they're not pushing to, well, we can get a playoff spot or we can solidify ourselves as a playoff team. They're trying to become one of the best teams in baseball and push for the best record in the MLB to win the NL Central, to be able to skip the wild card round, which has been a bugaboo. You get right to the DS. And that's a whole different world. And a bat like Suarez is the type it would be. We talked about on here where they would go if you just added his home runs to their season. I mean, the Brewers are winning difference. Games and scoring runs without that. And that's great, but that's not going to happen every single series. And I'm not worried about, there seems to be a small contingent of people who are like, don't mess up what they got going. I think that is the defeatism the fear and the now that we're finally competing with the big boys, there's a little bit of I'm scared. I don't want to enter into this. I'm going to have to get my hopes up. I'm going to have to believe, and I'm going to have to expect a World Series. Mm-hmm. I think Brewers fans have gotten awfully comfortable being the plucky underdog. And a move like Suarez, that you put some big prospects out there, is probably a move that tells everyone, hey, we're here, and we're coming for it all.
I totally agree. And hopefully that is the direction they go. Now, that's not the Thanasio quote. It just made me giggle because Wisconsin's definitely not the only like sports market that has this, but to have the figureheads that just like provide, right? Obviously, Mark Murphy just retiring last week officially has said things for years. What just happened? Are you okay?
My mic just sunk. The act this part did.
Oh, that's normal.
Yeah.
Okay. As long as it's still working, I guess.
Yeah.
To have Mark Murphy say all the things he said over the years, and now Antanasio saying all the things he's said over the years, it's just fascinating.
The great thing with them, too, is they both say things they should and shouldn't.
Correct. Yeah.
We remember the summer of fun and
summer
entertainment.
Summer of fun and entertainment, yeah.
I also do find it interesting that Mark can't really open his mouth without talking about costs and prices and salaries. Always, I mean,
he did allegedly steal sand at one point, so clearly he's worried about it, yeah.
Yeah. So that to me is interesting, and I think the way the MLB is currently constructed, you used to have to get these guys, you used to have to give up your best prospect. That doesn't happen anymore.
No.
I don't think either of the Brewers' top two prospects are touchable to them, nor would they have to move them to get a Suarez.
Agreed.
I think if you're talking like last year in a Juan Soto, then that's more of a conversation because that's a Hall of Fame level player. A guy like Suarez is a good player,
good bat,
having a great season, but not to the level of we're selling our farm to get this guy.
The Hall of them. Do you follow the MLB Hall of Pretty Good?
Yes.
Terrific.
I don't follow them. I see them.
Ricky Weeks, the one of the Brewers inductees, one of the first inductees.
I feel like the Brewers have quite a few Hall of really good players.
Yeah. Not Hall of Famers. Yeah.
Yes.
I would agree with that. So we will see on the trade deadline, which happens Thursday after this Cubs series comes to an end. And, you know, like Joshy said, the only way there's a big swing in the series is if there's a sweep. And one way or another, right? Obviously, the Cubs could win all three. The Brewers could win all three. If the Brewers are three games ahead in the NL Central entering Thursday after a sweep at home of the Cubs, and they do not make a move that signals, hey, we're buying at the deadline, grab your pitchforks, because I think Brewers fans would be upset. Now, again, to your point, I think a lot of Brewers fans are good being the underdog and good, you know, yada, yada. We can chip our way. We can get there. We've seen what the Rangers have done. We've seen what the Diamondbacks have done. I just think you need more to get through the NL. The Cubs are that good. The Dodgers are that good, regardless of how you've played them this year.
There's no such thing as being too good.
Good point.
You're not going to go out there and be like, the team was just too good there. We couldn't get it done. Adding bats, adding talent is only going to improve your chances of winning a World Series. Hell, look at the Los Angeles Dodgers. They could have stopped at Mookie Betts and Freddie Freeman. They would have been A-okay. That's a good baseball team. But they keep adding, and they're not going to stop. They're going to make additions where it makes sense. The Cubs are trying to be aggressive as well. There's going to be a sweepstakes, and if you want Suarez, you're probably going to have to overpay a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm okay at the end of the day if I know the franchise that I root for believes in their team a degree that they said, this is a little more than we're comfortable with, but we have the opportunity to do something really special that hasn't happened here in Milwaukee since 1982.
Otani, Yamamoto, Teoscar Hernandez, right? Like in the last 2 years, they have gone out and done it, the Dodgers have.
Yes.
Not quite to the level the Brewers ever have, but come Thursday, you better hope the phones are ringing in Matt Arnold's office and he is making something happen, regardless of the result of the series, because you're still well into the mix.
Nothing can happen before Thursday that would turn you from a buyer to a seller or a seller to a buyer right now for the Brewers.
Yep.
There certainly will be a surprise team that sells away a guy, and you're like, what the hell are they doing, a la the Josh Hader trade?
Correct.
I've also seen that mentioned that because what we saw happen with Hader, that the Brewers shouldn't add, which is an interesting mind trick to play, because
it's the reverse psyche, essentially.
Right,
yeah.
Adding Suarez tells everybody in that clubhouse, hey, we're for real. Sure, Caleb Durbin would have to be like, oh, damn, I'm not going to see as many at-bats, but they're still going to use him.
Yeah.
And they still plan to use him in the future.
He's that good defensively.
And I think any professional can look at that, say, yeah, I don't have the capability of hitting 50 home runs. I understand that. I could be a guy maybe in my future that hits 25.
That is quite a way to look at it. The reverse psyche. You know, take somebody away who's one of the heartbeats of your team.
What it is, it's scratching and clawing.
Right.
It's scratching and clawing for a reason to find an excuse.
Yeah, look, no offense to Anthony Siegler or Andre Monasterio.
Right.
But if you go back to AAA, I don't think anybody's crying.
No.
When they are trying to win a World Series.
Caleb Durbin's defense, his speed, all those things, pitch hitting, pitch running, and then spot starting in some positions, there's going to be a place for him to play. He's going to be on the playoff roster, and he's going to be a contributor. And who knows? He might be the guy that has the big hit in the NLCS. These are all things that happen in pinch hitting, pitch running. Like, I remember Dave Roberts' stolen base, because it's like the biggest stolen base ever. Dave Roberts is not a name. Doug Minkiewicz. Those aren't people you think of, but those are people that make differences in playoff series.
Well said. Hunter?
Some good news for Brewers fans. Seen some rumors. I think even ESPN posted an article that the Yankees are more interested in adding pitching, and the Yankees were a team that has been linked to possibly going after Suarez. So that potentially takes a team that would overpay compared to what the Brewers would give up to get Suarez. So I'm trying to be as positive as I can. I think they figure out a way to get him.
Yeah, they added Ryan McMahon from the Rockies, I believe, which sort of takes them out of the running there, because now they would be running out of places to play all the people they wish to. So you're still competing with teams, and the Reds have been added as a potential suitor who Suarez used to play for. Obviously, the Cubs are the other one that you're staring down the barrel from, and trying to, not only are you trying to get better, you're trying to prevent them from getting better as well.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
In whatever way you can. Obviously, you're not going to be able to outbid them on every type of deal they're looking for, but that's one you don't want to get beat on.
I'm just looking forward to Wednesday's episode when I'm either completely irrational or rational in a good way or a bad way. You are very distracted. What's wrong?
I'm just trying to figure out what they're doing with this that out there.
They're hanging murals.
Nice. Yeah. He was sizing it up like he was about to put it over our windows, which would be...
No, ours is already hung, so the WTMJ one is next.
Gotcha.
If you're coming to the 3rd Street Market Hall in downtown Milwaukee, we now have murals outside of our studios. They look awesome. Shout out to our teammate Alex, who hand-drew all of them.
Really?
Incredible. Yeah, he's an incredible artist. He draws like all the murals in all of our company's offices.
Yeah, he did the one in the Madison office.
He's amazing. Yeah, he's amazing. He's like an unbelievable artist. So if you stop by the 3rd Street Market Hall, you can check out 1017 The Truth, ESPN Milwaukee's, and 620 WTMJ's new murals outside the cafe right by Dog City here in the 3rd Street Market Hall.
Fuss spot.
And the Fuss Spot. Yeah, Fuss Spot's delicious, by the way. I like that place. All right, here we go. Time now for What We Missed, What We Learned on Mr. Relevant, which is presented by our friends at Door County Distillery, locally produced, handcrafted, award-winning spirits made locally in beautiful Door County. If you're heading up to Door County this summer, make sure you stop in. I get a text maybe once a weekend, Joshy. Last weekend it was your mom. This weekend I got one from an old friend. Hey, I heard you talk about Door County Distillery. I stopped in. So awesome. Yeah, it is, because they've got exclusive product there. You can do tours. You can do tastings. You can check out Door Peninsula Winery, which is connected under the same umbrella, both in the same building. It's an awesome spot. So if you're heading up to Door County, make sure you stop there in Carlsville, just north of Sturgeon Bay. And you can bring Door County to you if you're not heading to Door County, like I do all the time. Their bourbon is my personal favorite, but they've also got a great rye whiskey. They've got the multiple-time award-winning single malt whiskey. They've got rums, they've got gins, they've got vodkas, they've got brandies, vodka and brandy, both with a cherry collaboration. Door County cherries infused into them. Cherry brandy, cherry vodka. Very, very good for your cherry fanatics. Door County Distillery is the best. Check out their website, DoorCountyDistillery.com. Look for the product you're looking for. Type in your zip code, find the retailer nearest to you, or check out their huge list of unique cocktail recipes. They're always adding more to that, and boy, do they know how to make drinks up there. Our friend Beth is amazing, so make sure you check it out. DoorCountyDistillery.com. Okay. I love training camp, and I love when the NFL season gets going, because you learn stuff about players that you probably should have known years ago. This will be the last time I call him this. Bijan Robinson, the star running back of the Atlanta Falcons, joined NFL Network this weekend to bring some attention to a pressing matter regarding Bijan Robinson. Take a listen.
Properly give us the pronunciation of your name.
All right. How you pronounce my name is Bijan. For everybody that's out there, I know a lot of people say Bijan, but it's Bijan. It's Bijan, yeah.
It's Bijan Robinson. We've been calling him by the wrong name his entire career. His name is Bijan Robinson.
This happens
every year.
Every year.
Without fail.
And somebody has a new name. Some people are successful in getting the correction. Some, it seems to just fall by the wayside.
I have a great example for you. Tyrod Taylor is not Tyrod Taylor. It's Tyrod Taylor, but people still call him Tyrod Taylor.
Yes, this happens all the time. Some people catch on, some don't. It is amazing that to my understanding, the pronunciation is something that you sit down with like the PR and marketing team.
Yes, in college.
So then it can be.
And then in the NFL.
Yes. So it can be properly put into the media booklets that get handed out.
So how did we get through? I mean, and it's not like Bijan Robinson is a no-name.
Unknown.
Right.
Right.
This guy has been amazing at every level he's played. When he played at Texas, he was like in Heisman conversations and obviously all the different award conversations. He won the Doak Walker Award as the nation's best running back in 2022. So he went to Texas. He was a superstar. He was like a top 10 pick. What, top 5 pick in the NFL draft a couple years ago?
He might have been like 4th overall or something crazy.
He was drafted 8th pick, top 10 pick, 8th overall in 23 to Atlanta. So this is third year in the NFL. And we're just learning it's Bijan Robinson, not Bijan Robinson.
Much like Dijon.
Correct. Well, Dijon mustard, isn't it? It's Dijon.
That's why I said it.
So, Bijan, Dijon, no, you're wrong. You're messing with me now.
Yes,
messing
I did
with
that
my
on
psyche.
Purpose.
Unbelievable. So, Bijan Robinson, take a note. I'm always flabbergasted by these situations because I wonder, A, how did we get this far without anybody ever being corrected? B, the NFL has amazing journalists covering the league day in and day out. How has nobody asked him how to pronounce his name? Because did we just always assume it was Bijan and we were wrong?
So I know what happened, and I've heard this talked about before, where some players just don't feel secure enough to upset the apple cart. And I think probably as you mature and you grow, you say, all right, I'm established in the NFL. I can finally dictate how these people say my name. I think for certain guys, it's a degree of, I'm just happy to be here. I'm grateful. And a few people pronouncing my name wrong isn't going, because everyone knows who I am still.
Correct.
There's no confusion.
Yeah. No.
So it's just a degree of, hey, it's probably time. And I'm sure your mom, your grandma, people around you are like, hey, I think it's time we tell them the right way to pronounce your name.
So what's the prediction from the panel? Will we call him Bijan Robinson or Bijan Robinson for the remainder of his career?
It's going to be Bijan.
It's not going to get corrected?
I don't think so.
Okay, I will refer to him strictly as Bijan.
He's been too highly talked about in the fantasy world for people to like change that up. It sucks that people can't do that, but that's just the reality of it.
Yeah, and it's a degree of when you're thinking recall and you're just saying something, what pops into your head is not necessarily your fault. Like, I've heard it pronounced so many times that way, it's going to take so many more times for it to be then correct.
Then let me talk straight to Bijan for a moment. Bijan, I promise you, I will do whatever it takes for the remainder of your career to correct anybody that calls you Bijan going forward. Your name... You're so good, your name deserves to be spoken correctly.
Or he's just a human being and he deserves to be spoken correctly. We don't have to tie it to his athletic ability.
I don't know if it's a merit-based conversation.
I'm going to make it one also. I think if anything, this guy has earned the right for his name to be pronounced correctly. If anything. At the bare bones of thing, yes, I agree, he's a human being, so his name should just be said correctly.
Here, let me put you in a tough spot.
Yeah, go ahead.
Who doesn't deserve to have their name pronounced correctly?
You, Josh DiMaggio, is how people should refer to you, and often do, if I'm mistaken.
I don't know how we mispronounce Winker, but Jesse Winker should be. Dude's a
Winker.
My name, surprisingly, is mispronounced a lot.
So is mine, but that's not surprising.
It's just Joe DiMaggio. mine's pronounced the exact same way as his. So usually when there's like such an established precedent, I figured it would be easier.
So wait, yours is said, it is DiMaggio.
Yes.
Okay.
It is said like the one of the most famous baseball players to ever
live. Have you dug into your lineage at all and figured out, has it always been that way?
The name?
Has it always been pronounced DiMaggio, or was that Joe's fault?
No.
Who I do not believe is a relative.
He is not a relative. It has always been pronounced that way. And it has carried on from ancestry from Sicily.
So you're Italian.
Well, Sicilian.
Which is in Italy.
Yes. It's very different, though. Sicily to Italy.
I've never been to Italy.
I believe there are groups of they don't get along necessarily the best.
Really?
The main yes.
I'd really like to go to Italy
because it is an island,
right? I knew
so
that. Yeah.
I think there is still carried on long history of we weren't them, but we became them,
sure.
And now we don't all have the same ideals and lifestyles.
Okay, interesting. Well, I would like to go to Italy at some point. I just like to put that out there. You know me. I like
You are one of the millions of people across the earth who would like to visit one of the most richest historic places on earth.
Do you think now that Bajan has a Dijon mustard deal, he would like to get a Parmesan deal? That's from Dugio in the YouTube chat.
I don't get
so his name is Bajan. It kind of rhymes with Parmesan. but he currently has a deal with Dijon because his name was...
So wait, he has a Dijon?
I don't know if that's true or not.
Okay, I was going to say.
I wouldn't be shocked.
It's probably.
I wouldn't either, but also feels like something he should have had to bring up. To
yeah, I wonder if our friends at Coop's Mustard has an answer for that. Coop's Mustard will be our partner this year on Strauss Trolls, which is our preview social media series before Packers games.
It's for real?
That's for real, yeah. That's real.
I love that mustard.
I do too. I've got like 6 bottles of it in my fridge. Hunter, we've talked about how big of a mustard fan I am.
We're appreciative of all partnerships here, but when it's one that you're already using and it comes around, you're like, wow, this is... Yeah. And we're happy to add things. There's plenty of things that we didn't know about that we discover.
Right.
But when it's like, I've got probably 3 bottles in my fridge at home.
Coop's Mustard is the best.
Yeah.
So anyway, they will be our partner on Strove Strolls this year. And I actually have their, I think it's honey Dijon or just normal Dijon in my fridge right now. And I'm curious if they have a deal with Bajan Robinson.
Power rank your top 5 mustards. I don't need brand. I need like style, like a horseradish,
a
stone ground, a spicy.
I need to think about it for a moment. Okay. So like I have to go 1 to 5 just because like that's the way
that's
my brain's going to work here. So number 1 is always jalapeno mustard. I think it's versatile.
Wow.
You can use it on burgers. You can use it on brats. You can use it on sandwiches. I love jalapeno mustard. That's my number 1. Number 2, this is a Coop's mustard. It's Arizona Heat. Amazing sandwich mustard.
Yes.
It's really, really, really
available
good.
At the ballpark, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
Yes. Number 3, spicy brown, self-explanatory.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Number 4, honey mustard. Love me some honey mustard.
Versatile.
But amazing specifically with fried chicken.
Yeah.
Chicken tendies, chicken nuggies, dip it in honey mustard. Then I'd probably go Dijon 4th.
I'm a horseradish mustard guy.
I also like
a singe to the nose with my stirred.
Damn, that was a fun conversation. Singe to my nose with some stirred.
Uh-huh.
Freaking A, man. I almost swore I got myself fired up. Wow. Wow. Good catch there. Good catch there. All right. That does it for us. He's Josh DiMaggio. Will Summers left us at some point. Hunter's off the rest of the week. He is going on vacation. Hunter, have a great vacation.
Thank you. Going to North Carolina. It's going to be ridiculously hot. I'm going to sweat so much.
You go into like the beaches?
Wilmington.
What are we doing?
Yeah. So I'm going to be lobbying for a lot of beach time then. I don't care if it's crowded. Got to get in the ocean and cool off. Yeah. I'm going to be so sunburned.
Mm-hmm.
So Will fill in for Hunter Wednesday and Friday. Hunter will rejoin us on Monday after his well-deserved vacation as we continue to gear up here for football season, our full-blown football season, which obviously brings a lot of work for everybody. So well-deserved vacation for Hunter coming up. It'll be Joshy, Will, and myself with you Wednesday and Friday. Good job today, Josh.
Sorry, I'm out Wednesday.
Where are you Wednesday?
I have an off day.
On a Wednesday?
Yeah, it's
Jesse
boring.
Nelson special.
That is the Jesse Nelson special.
And sadly it's Jesse Nelson related, but there's things going on where I have to be home because the other person in my house is unavailable to be home.
Wait, what do you mean, sadly enough, it's Jesse Nelson related?
Dog related.
Oh, wow. This is a full-blown Jesse Nelson special.
We don't
special.
Have anybody to care for the dog.
How often does your dog need to go out?
He goes out 3 times a day.
He can't make it 8 hours?
I'm here for more than 8 hours.
Oh, I guess that's true.
Josh is a grinder. Gotcha.
Yeah, yes.
Yeah, I'm here for well over. I know some people do it. I am patently against leaving my dog locked up for more than 9 hours. More than 7 is probably more than I would.
I tend to agree, but work days, stuff gets in the way.
It does.
Like, I can't always be perfect on that, but I hear you. Okay. What a way to end the show. Good luck on Wednesday. So me and Will are with you Wednesday. Josh rejoins us Friday. Full crew back together a week from today.
Yes. Wait, jeez. Yes. I'll be back Friday, though.
Right.
Yeah.
And then Hunter back Monday. That's what I said, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Glad we got there. All right. I'm going to continue to do my NFL research. Hopefully more questions Friday. We'll talk to you on Wednesday beginning at 12:30, ESPN Milwaukee, ESPN Madison on YouTube, and, of course, the ESPN Wisconsin app, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. We will talk to you Wednesday. Peace.